Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Thank you. Hello. How's it going? Great. That's excellent. So we're going through the life of Moses, and today we're going to look at a few episodes from the life of Moses. We're going to look at Burning Bush, Mount Sinai, something later on in his life. But the theme of all these episodes is hearing God. Now, if you subscribe to or follow the Luminous podcast, I don't know if you've heard of that or not. I know you do, yes. A couple people do. That's great. You're the two fans. But if you do that, then you will know that the last three episodes have all been on the theme of listening to God, where Danny, myself, and Jamie have had these conversations around listening to God. And so what I'm going to talk about today is somewhat a synopsis from there, but it's also, we're going to add in some more events and more things from the life of Moses. But hey, if you want a deeper dive, Luminous Podcast on your favorite listening platform. Okay, before we jump in, I have a question for you. And for your answer, I'm going to invite you to answer out loud. This is always so risky when you just throw these open-ended questions. So I would not like a backstory, and I would not like the actual thing that God said. I just want a one or two word answer. The last time that you were pretty sure that you heard God speak or God said something to you, how did he speak to you? I don't need to know what he said, but like, by what means did he communicate to you? Were you reading scripture and something jumped out at you? Was there an inner prompting that said, oh, I should do this or I shouldn't do this? Last time, yeah. In a dream. Great. Yes. Bible. Journaling. Prayer. Words in your head. Burning in the heart. Nature. Nice. Okay. Words from another person. Excellent. Those are all great. And they're all different. Okay. Second question I have for you. This can be a little bit of a longer answer, but not too much longer. What frustrations have you had trying to hear from God or listening to God? Self-doubt. Okay. Distraction, different voices, which voice is God's, that kind of thing. Yeah, okay. Anything else? Silence, okay. Yeah. Busyness, okay. That can be frustrating for sure. Yes. Discord, so conflict. Okay, excellent. Great. So, like I said, we are going to go through three scripture passages from the life of Moses. And then when we've gone through them, we'll kind of I'll share some sort of conclusions that we can get from these passages. So the first one comes from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. I think you heard this a little bit last week, the burning bush episode, but I'll read it one more time. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Okay, so right now, Moses is in the middle of a very humble season of life. 40 years ago, he was like the prince of Egypt, right? He had everything he could ever think of. And if you know the story of Moses, you know he fled Egypt, and for 40 years, Moses has been an obscure shepherd in the middle of the desert of Midian. So at this point of his life, things were so humble for him that he didn't even have his own flock of sheep. He was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And so this burning bush that we read about is this spectacular phenomenon that captures Moses' attention. And it says God called to him from the midst or the middle of the bush. Now, most scholars, in fact, all the ones that I read this last little while, they all agree that when you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's actually a manifestation of God himself. Because the angel speaks, like you just read what the angel says, he speaks as God. He speaks God's words, right? And interestingly, most scholars agree that the angel of the Lord is probably a manifestation of the second person of the Trinity, the pre-incarnate Jesus. Just a little tidbit for you. When you see the angel of the Lord, not an angel, but when you specifically read the angel of the Lord. And so here is God, the angel of the Lord, appearing to Moses. Note, though, that God did not speak to Moses until he had Moses' attention. So, like, this is just here's a freebie for you, a free conclusion, that if we want to hear God's voice, we have to give him our attention, right? David Guzik says it this way. He says, he gave the example of reading the Bible, and he says, God's word doesn't touch our heart the way that it might because we don't give it our attention, right? I don't know about I'll talk about this a little bit, but how many times have I read the Bible just to read the Bible, to check off? I read my Bible this morning. I don't take time to listen. I don't take time to dwell. I just read the words and move on and then complain, well, God didn't speak to me today in the Bible. Well, that's because I didn't give him my attention as I was reading the Bible. And so this is really awesome. God's first words to Moses, what were they? He called Moses by name. So Moses is this obscure shepherd in the middle of the desert of Midian, and God knew who he was and called him by name. Moses was important to God in the same way that he would call us and know us by name. And he doesn't just say, yo, Moses. He says it's actually a double call. He says, Moses, Moses. It only happens a few times in Scripture. And every time it is implied this there's something important. There's a sense of urgency in what God wants to say. He did the same sort of double call when he called Abraham, when he called Samuel, Simon, Martha. You know the story, Martha, Martha, why are you so worried about this stuff? Right? Saul, who we know as Paul, when he called Saul, it was this double call, this double name. But what I really want to focus on here is when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, how did he speak? He spoke to him in fire or through fire. He presented himself as fire in the bush. So keep that in mind. And let's go on to the next story. This comes from Exodus 19. Verses 16 to 19. On the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply. So, thunderings, lightnings, thick cloud, all signs of power and glory that signaled the presence of God at Mount Sinai. So Israel saw these natural phenomena, right, such as earthquake, or felt the earthquake, I guess, the thunder, the lightning, the cloud. But there's also this unnatural phenomenon going on there, which is the blast of the ram's horn, because it doesn't come from the camp. It comes from the mountain. So no wonder the people trembled. The whole environment speaks to the fact that God is here. Are you ready to listen? And so Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. They could see and smell and hear the fire which covered the mountain. They could feel the earth quake beneath their feet. And in the midst of this, there's this blast of a trumpet or blast of a ram's horn that becomes longer and louder and longer and louder until Moses speaks to God, and it says God thundered his reply. So collectively here, Israel heard the Lord speak from Mount Sinai in an audible voice like thunder. So how did God speak at Mount Sinai? Well, in the burning bush, he spoke in or through fire. Now here on Mount Sinai, he speaks in thunder. In fact, verse 19 is in the imperfect tense, which literally is translated, Moses kept speaking and God kept answering him in thunder. Okay, one more verse. This comes, actually, no, two more verses. So first, Exodus 33:11, which says, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Or it's very similar to Numbers 12:8, where God contrasts how he spoke to Moses compared to how he spoke to other prophets. And he says, God says, I speak to him face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. So why were you not afraid to criticize my servant Moses? So while other prophets, they may have dreams, they may have visions, Moses heard God clearly and plainly. And the term face to face likely is a figurative expression as opposed to a literal one, because God says in other parts of Scripture, no one can see my face and survive. So it's probably face-to-face is probably a figurative expression, just meaning free and open fellowship. So how did God speak to Moses in these moments, and I say quote-unquote face-to-face, during this quiet time, right? He wasn't in the tent of meeting thundering at Moses. He was quietly, clearly, plainly speaking to him as one would speak to a friend. So from these three stories, what do we learn about God and what do we learn about listening to God? Lesson number one, or conclusion number one, we know that God speaks, right? He spoke to Moses. God still speaks today. He speaks to you. As we heard, like all these people saying, oh, I heard him in this, and I heard him in that. He speaks today. In fact, 150 times from Exodus to Deuteronomy, 150 times it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, or the Lord said to Moses. So we know, number one, we know that God speaks. Number two, we know that God speaks in multiple ways, even to the same person. Right? So we cannot pin him down to speaking in one way only. Like, what if Moses, after the burning bush, said, God speaks in fire. I know that God speaks in fire and only fire. He would have missed all the other times that God spoke to him through means that weren't fire. He'd be face to face with the Lord in the tent of meeting. Well, you're not fire, so obviously you're not God, right? Or what if Elijah read the story of Moses and said, "Oh, God speaks in fire. Now I know because I read the story of the burning bush." And then Elijah flees and God appears to Elijah. And what does it specifically say? God was not in the fire. God was not in the earthquake. He was not in the storm. He was in the still, small voice. Or more literally, he was in the thin silence. God speaks in more than one way. So do not box him in to say, God speaks to me this way and only this way, because we will miss his voice every other way he wants to speak to us. Okay, so we know God speaks. We know God speaks in multiple ways. Number three, we know it's possible to hear God, right? I mean, Moses heard God. All of Israel heard God at Mount Sinai. So yes, God speaks. Yes, he speaks in multiple ways. Yes, it is possible for us, every person in this room, to listen to and hear God. And then number four, we know we can learn to hear God's voice more frequently and more accurately. This is, I love this. So if we were to have kept reading a couple more verses in the burning bush story, we would have read, when Moses heard this, like when he heard the name and saw God, when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. But then, later on, we just read Exodus 33:11, where it say, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. So when Moses is beginning his relationship of listening to God, he hides, he's scared. But near the end of his relationship, he's like face to face with him, or face to face with him, whatever that means. But he learned to hear God more accurately and more frequently. God speaks, and he can speak through any kind of means. He can speak through scripture. He can speak through song lyrics, through poetry. He can speak through inner thoughts, inner promptings. He can speak in stillness. He can speak through our circumstances. He can speak in nature. He can speak in dreams. He can speak through the counsel of a trusted friend. He can speak through sermons. He can speak in so many ways. But are we listening? Are we listening? And are we learning how to recognize his voice when he speaks? The bottom line is, the better you know God, the better you hear his voice. Because God's voice is always consistent with God's character. And so the more we know his character, the more able we are to recognize his voice when he speaks. And this is one of the most beautiful things about God speaking to us today. So with Moses and Israel, as they did their desert wanderings, God presented himself to them and sort of abided in the tabernacle. Remember, they built the tabernacle, and that's where the, yes, thank you, that box, the ark. Sorry, it's just a senior's moment. He was there, and he was present in the tabernacle, right? But then, in John chapter 1, we read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Another translation of that word dwelt is tabernacle. So God was present to Israel in the desert in the tabernacle. But then in the person of Jesus Christ, God became flesh and tabernacled among us in the person of Jesus. And then Paul says to us, the church, to the Corinthian church, says, don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in, he uses the plural word, dwells in you? Another translation of dwelling, tabernacle. The Holy Spirit is tabernacling in us right now as a church. But he also tabernacles in us as individuals as well. God the Holy Spirit lives. If you are a follower of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit dwells in you, meaning he tabernacles. He has set up camp in you, which is amazing because that means you have something that Moses did not have in the same way. You have God the Holy Spirit camping out in you, which means that you are not listening to God out there somewhere like Moses had to. If that was the case, he would have to speak through some kind of audible or visible means. Now you can listen to God in here because he is living in you. It means he can speak to you through thoughts and impressions and promptings and gut instincts and give you insight where you read a piece of scripture and something just pops out at you, or you're talking to a friend. Do you know how I decided, or how God told me to be a pastor? I was walking, I was 19 years old, brand new Christian, walking down the street with a friend, and my friend said, I think I'm going to go to Bible college and be a pastor. And as soon as he said that, something in me said, yes, me too. It was God. It was that simple. It was not some angel. It wasn't like writing in the sky. It was just my friend said, yeah, I think I can go to Bible college and be a pastor. I was like, me too. That's it. And I was enrolled in jazz music, going to be a music therapist, did a total 180 from that, went to Bible college the following September. Just because God in me went, boom, that's it. Someone said something, and I knew it was for me. And the funny thing is, my friend only lasted one semester, and then he quit. So I guess he said that for me. I don't know. So we know that God speaks, right? And we know we can learn to hear his voice. So the next question for us then would be, well, what does it mean to listen? Okay, God speaks. I get it. I can hear him. I get that. What does it mean to listen to him? Luke chapter 3, baptism of Jesus. Father speaks from heaven to Jesus and says, you are my dearly beloved son, and you bring me great joy. What a wonderful thing to hear from God. Later, Luke chapter 9, at the transfiguration, God speaks again from heaven, this time speaking to the disciples of Jesus. And he says something kind of similar. He says, this is my son, my chosen one. And then he says, listen to him. That's God the Father's message to us about his son. This is my son. This is Jesus. This is your Savior. This is your hope for peace. This is your hope for a flourishing life. Listen to him. And it's also Jesus' message throughout his ministry. Multiple times he says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. He also says, after the parable of the sower, take care how you listen. But what does it mean to listen? Because to listen does not mean, oh, I just register the fact that he spoke. I hear his voice. Because for Jesus, listening is always connected to obedience and to doing. If we don't do, then in Jesus' eyes, we haven't really listened. He says, my mother, my brothers are who? Those who hear the word of God and do it. Jesus wants us to hear him, absolutely. And a follower of Jesus, a disciple, is someone who hears his word, who listens to Jesus, and does it. That's who, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that's who Jesus says, you're the wise one. Those wise people who are like the people who build their house on the rock, they're the ones who hear me speak, who hear my commands, and obey them. Right? Jesus wants us to hear. Now, a caveat, quick caveat, Jesus doesn't always just tell us to do things, right? Sometimes he just simply says, you're awesome, and I love you. That's it. Sometimes he says, I think you need to stop and rest. But sometimes he says, I think you need to stop resting and start doing. But no matter what he says, we need to hear him. We need to listen. So if we must hear him, the next logical question is, how do I recognize God's voice? Now you're thinking, why is there a QR code on there? And I'm telling you, you can scan it right now if you want to. The reason a QR code is on there is because I'm not going to answer this question. However, episode 21, 22, and 23 of the Luminous podcast answers that question. How do I recognize God's voice? And Danny and Jamie and myself, we have some conversation about, you know, the things that help us to hear the voice of God and recognize it as God's voice. So you can listen to it there. Moving on, next question. How do I develop a listening posture? Okay, I want to hear God. I want to recognize his voice. So how do I grow as a follower of Jesus in listening? Because to have ears to hear actually is kind of code language for to have a heart to respond. When Jesus says, have ears to hear, he's really saying, have a heart to respond. And that requires soft-heartedness, right? Which is why things like conflict and busyness rob us of the ability to hear God, because our heart's not in a soft place. And this softness of heart comes best from a surrender to self-reliance and a submission to God. So in one sense, any spiritual practice that you do that will bring you before God in humility, in surrender, will help you to listen better. But like I said earlier, all of these practices have to be done with this sense of heart connection. It's not just a to-do task. So again, reading the Bible. Am I reading the Bible to hear God? Or am I reading the Bible so I can tell my pastor, I read the Bible today? Because I do that all the time. I do it all the time. I mean, I love to say every time I read the Bible, I take my time to like really dwell and think and pray. Sometimes I do. Lots of times I do. But not every time. Not even close to every time. Sometimes I just read it because it's on my to-do list. Read my Bible. Here's whatever I need to read for today. I got to get that done. And so if we want to hear God speak, it's best to work on our heart, not so much our tasks. Because if our heart is in the right posture, God can speak through anything. So let's just wrap up with what that posture is. Who are the kind of people who hear God speak? The kind of people who hear God are number one, people who are available. What does Moses say when God, right after God says, Moses, Moses, do you remember Moses' response? Here I am. I'm available. Here I am. Guess what Abraham said after God said, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Guess what Jacob and Samuel and Isaiah and Ananias said after God reached out to them, here I am. That is one of the best prayers you can pray throughout the day. When you go into your workplace tomorrow morning, or you go to school tomorrow morning, pause quickly and just say, here I am, God. I'm available to you. When you go home from work, and you're just about to walk into your home and see your family, just pause and say, here I am, God. I'm available to you. How about when you leave church today? I'm going to pray that God reminds us as soon as hopefully sun or rain, whatever, hits your face. Remember, just say these words. Here I am, God. I'm available to you for the rest of the day. I'm not just available to you in church. I'm available to you when I go out from church as well. It's not about, to be available to God, it's not about, I got to make sure I have my devotional time this morning. I got to take those 10 minutes or those 20 minutes or those 30 minutes. That's great. Don't get me wrong. That's great. But the people who best hear God's voice are the ones whom God owns their entire day, not just the 30 minutes in the morning. So people who are available to God are more inclined to hear him speak. Number two, people who are willing to do what he asks. We talked about that already, the whole obedience thing. Exodus 40:16 says, Moses proceeded to do everything just as the Lord commanded him. In fact, seven more times it says Moses did just as the Lord commanded. Now, obviously, we don't do the obedience thing perfectly all the time. We mess it up, we stumble, we trip over things all the time. But what's the heart's desire? If we have a heart that desires to, like, do our best to hear God and do what he asks, I think we'd be more inclined to hear his voice, even if we don't do the follow-up perfectly. And then lastly, the kind of people who hear God's voice are people who are humble. Numbers 12:3, no one was more humble than Moses. And so a good question to ask ourselves was, well, why do I even want to hear God? Do I want to hear him so I can, like, build my own sort of, like, people can see it and know about it, and I can do cool things or say cool things or say, hey, I heard God say something to you or whatever? That's great as well. But if that is our motivation, if the motivation is to build our kingdom, we're going to be less inclined to hear him speak. But if it's, God, I want to hear you speak so I can build your kingdom, so I can serve others, so I can love others, so I can know what to do to be the best version of myself for your kingdom, we will be more inclined to hear the voice of God. So who are the kind of people that hear the voice of God? People who are available, people who are willing to do what he asks, people who are humble. I'm going to close with these two verses. One reason the poet, in the book of Psalms, one reason the poet loves God is because God listens to him. He says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he, God, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. And then in the book of Revelation, to the seven churches, Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them listen to what the Spirit is saying. So from those two verses, we know that God listens to you. He listens deeply because you matter to him. But we also learn that God wants you to listen to him. We heard Jesus say that his mother and brothers were those that hear the word of God and do it. But let's just remember, God is not simply some boss who's going to order you around. Do this, do that. He is a friend. He loves you. He is a source, the source of a flourishing life. And he wants relationship. He wants conversation. So he is speaking to you. And when you hear him, continue the conversation, because he's listening to you as well. So this last thing here is, I have a prayer that I'd like for us to read out loud together. It can be a corporate prayer. So if you can just put it on the screen, hopefully you can read that. Congratulations if you can. You can drive for another 5 years. But let's just pause for a moment, and I'm going to invite you actually first to close your eyes, if you'd like to. You don't have to, of course. And you've been listening to me for the last 30 minutes, but I would invite you to turn your attention to God, whose presence, loving presence, is with you right now, is in you right now. their attention on him. What might he want to say to encourage you right now? And then let's open our eyes. Well, unless you've memorized this already, then you can keep them closed. And let's read this prayer together. So let's begin. Heavenly Father, my desire is to hear your voice. I believe you speak, and I believe you speak to me personally. You love me and want a friendship with me. Please train my ears to hear your voice and my spirit to hear your spirit. I commit to listen, I commit to receive your love, and I commit to do what you ask, trusting that you will give me the grace and strength to do so. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.